Henderson Boom, are you hearing us?
Hello, I'm not hearing you, Leandro.
Are you hearing me now? Okay, all right.
I heard you just now. Go ahead.
I want to know what has gone wrong in Antigua with the Barbados team.
Oh well, I can't answer for what went wrong in Antigua. I didn't travel with the team this year. I watched from home like everyone else, and obviously the final performances of the team wasn't what we as a panel and we as a island and an extension to the region wasn't what we were looking for. Obviously, Barbados have a number of international players and representatives from cricket, West Indies at the international level. So we all for a bigger product and a better product was hoping that we would have gotten some outstanding performances from our senior players. Collectively, it didn't materialize. There were still one or two positives that we can look at going further the road. But to touch on what actually happened in Antigua, we haven't done a review and a person say exactly from the coach and the captain. And obviously, I let involve a club, the seniors, haven't had that chat. The competition is running, still have one game to play, and that still gives some opportunity to some players to get the performance in, get a performance in. But to tell what actually happened in Antigua, wouldn't be able to touch on too much from at this stage. What I can is that I too saw the thing that the figured all the viewers saw. So if I could speak on that or if ask on that, they probably can give a replay. But
continue.
Actually, in Antigua, I wouldn't be in a position at this time to actually tell that.
Hendy Brooms, as a Barbadian, are you embarrassed? Hendy?
I wouldn't say embarrassed. I where's the correct? Disappointed, I think, that when I look at the squad we put together, I definitely had no idea that we would not be in the playoffs. And we actually planned our strategy around making the playoffs and having players available that went back from Bangladesh. So embarrassed, probably not the correct word I would use. Disappointed in not making the playoff, and certainly how we executed some of the plans, I was disappointed.
Just before we come to Wendell Copper, let's go to Dave Cameron. Dave, Jason Holder has been under the microscope. He would have been appointed captain in your time. He's under a lot of pressure. If you had to see Jason Holder now, what would you say to him, Dave? Dave?
Yeah, you know, what I'd say to you, Andrew, is that in 2019, this region hailed Jason as one of the best players and certainly the best captain we've seen maybe for the last 30 years when he beat England in Barbados. And it really just speaks to how fickle we are as fans. My thinking is that what we need to do is if persons believe that there is someone better than Jason to lead the teams now, then let's say that. But we don't need to put down Jason and put down his performances. Sports is one of those things that we all have bad days, bad series, bad outings. And I think we need to look at it in that context. I still believe that Jason is one of the best, the finest cricketers we've produced in the last 10, 15 years. And so I'm backing him always, because Jason is someone that you could reason with, and he will argue with you about his position and therefore has an opportunity to see what's going on. You know, he's not going to just be dogmatic and say, you know, my way or the highway. And so from that standpoint, I always like debating with him. I remember in 2014 when he became the captain, he told me plainly he didn't believe in the franchise system and what we were doing. I don't think he shares that view today. And even though he didn't believe in what we were doing, he went along and he did his part. And in 2016, when that unfortunate incident with Darren Bravo, Jason's contract was also downgraded to a B contract or a C contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the selectors that as long as I am playing cricket for the West Indies, you will never have that opportunity to give me another C contract. I remember, C or B, whatever it was. And he turned around his performance and became the best T20, the best all-rounder in test cricket all around in the world. So, you know, he's someone that I'm always going to back because he's a fighter. And so if, again, I make the point, if we believe that there is a better captain than Jason today to lead the West Indies, then by all means. But we don't need to denigrate or put down his performances and his contribution and love and dedication to West Indies cricket.
Dave, how would you react just before we go to Wendell Coppin? My understanding is that there a recommendation is going to be made, and I'm hearing that Craig Braffett's name is very much there. How would you respond to that, to captain the test side? That's what I'm hearing. It's unofficial.
Like I said, when I joined the conversation, I heard Toby Radford speaking about what happened with India.
Right.
And I'd like to endorse that. I'd like to say good evening to Toby. Good morning.
Evening. Hi.
In the UK. How are you, partner?
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it again, this is a challenge with sports. And Andrew, again, is one of the reasons why I don't go on programs.
Ooh.
Because sports is very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the biggest part of sports is the fans. It's pleasing the fans. But fans love stars. Fans love people who they see all the while, who make them comfortable, make them happy. As an administrator, your job is to be objective and use the information, the statistics that are given to you. It's not going to be a popular decision, but your job as the administrator is to do the right thing, irrespective of how the fans may feel. The fans will come around down the road. They will quarrel. But what I know about fans is that fans are fanatics. They're committed. At the end of the day, they want to win. So if you make the best decision that gets them to win, then they're happy with you. So why we don't talk about whether it's Jason or Craig or whatever, all of us just want to win.
Right.
You know, that's true. Mean, so at the end of the day, if you as an administrator, you've done your analysis and you believe that Craig should lead the team versus Jason, then so be it. But let us understand that as fans, we're just thinking about the last performance and how we feel. But you as an administrator, you have to be thinking about the business of what you're doing and the long-term effects on the sport.
Stay with us, Dave, because when we come back to you, we want to look at, I mean, we've been in the doldrums for such a long time, and how you feel we can really get over this.
No. We've not been in the doldrums. We've been... I've never used the word turn the corner, but you can see the progression, Andrew. So I will not agree with that comment. I'm sorry.
I'm talking about performances.
I agree. I'm saying to you, we've not been in the doldrums. You can see our performances over the last couple of years. We've gone to Dubai and draw a series with Pakistan when nobody had done that for 17 years.
True.
We won a test match in England in 2017. We beat England in the Caribbean. So, no, don't say that.
Okay.
But again, the same thing. Fans are fanatic.
Fans are fanatic. All right.
You're not looking at... you're very emotional. And I get that. And that's what I have to deal with when I'm the administrator. I have to balance the fanaticism and how you feel about today with the future.
Right.
And putting in systems that will ensure that we can perform for the future.
When we come back
I'm not going to agree with that comment, not while I'm online.
Okay, fair enough. When we come back, Dave, I want to talk about the legends, the role. I know they feel they're left out, And we can look at that. But let's go to Antigua now and talk to Wendell Coppin, the manager of the Barbados team. Dave talked about the emotions. I can tell you, Bajans are very, very emotional, Wendell Coppin. The Barbados team did not turn up. Can you explain the poor performance of the Barbados team? Good evening to you, Wendell.
Good evening to you, Andrew.
Yes.
Toby, it's good to see you. How is Bajans?
Good evening. Hope you're well.
Dr. Ford, our good friend from Guyana. Dave, nice to hear you again, and Andy Brooms, Chairman of Selectors, as well as your listeners everywhere, and I'm sure that you'll have some viewers joining you at some stage, Andrew, whether or not you send it to them directly or indirectly.
Yes.
We're all, as Hendy quite clearly stated, we are all here extremely disappointed in the way we perform. I mean, there is no I haven't come here this evening to defend our performance in any way, because there is no need to defend what was truly a lack of expectations. When we left home with the expectations, one, that we were going to, in two phases, we were going to get out of the first round into the knockout phase, certainly into the semifinals, and then we had two major games to play. I heard you talk about the amount of money that we are spending here at the BCA
yes.
and the Barbados.
Yes.
What I can say to you is that if you look at what Trinidad have done here for this tournament, they have left no stone unturned.
Mm.
Trinidad have come here with a full complement of no fewer than 8 backroom staff members.
Mm-hmm.
They've even got a baggage handler.
Really?
So they saw it as an important part of what they wanted to achieve, certainly, and there's been discussion about taking the model from seeing what Barbados do. We travel with an analyst, we've traveled with a selector before, we travel with a masseuse, and all of these persons Trinidad have decided to travel with, including a kit man. So the return on investment, one has to look at it, and if you look at it from a Barbadian perspective this year, one would have to say that our return on investment for this tournament has been way, way down. In terms of performances, there have been some positives. Now, if we look at each game individually, we had Guyana 86 for 6. They recovered to score 200 plus, and you could see in that game with a full game. We still had the majority of our batsmen to come. Jonathan Carter was going well, and he's had a reasonable tournament by his standards. So a full game, who knows? We were behind the run rate, but you could always pick up. So we lost that first game on the Duckworth Lewis. No one expected rain to happen. In the second game, over 300, and again, we look at 300 as a benchmark in regional cricket, and there are not many teams, including international teams, that make 300 in the first innings and lose in a one-day game in the Caribbean. When you look at that game, we were on course to score 320, 340.
Right.
We didn't. We fell short. We ended up just over the 300 mark. Then, again in the field, we dropped some crucial catches. We dropped Casey Carty when he was only 20 yards, Jonathan Carter at short mid-wicket. We dropped him again sometime in the 90s. And they scored 57 runs from the last 14 balls. Again, you cannot defend that. There is no defending that as a team. So that was not good cricket. Again, in the Trinidad game, a score of 270, 280, again, was on the card. We fell short to 250 odd, and we had moments in that game in Trinidad's run shares where we thought we could have done a lot better. So there have been moments all the way through those the first four games before we looked into the final game against the against Jamaica. Now, half of the team was out. Five wickets were down for 30 runs within the first 10 overs. Joshua Bishop, who again has been one of the bright sparks in the tournament. Joshua Bishop with fantastic figures. Again, they then moved to 86 for six with all of their batsmen, major batsmen, premier batsmen back in the tent, and the number 10 and 11 putting on 100 runs. And again, they're getting up to 200 plus. But if anybody had said at the beginning of the game, was any team happy to chase 218, 219 runs? I'm sure all of us across the region would have said yes. Looking at all the games, and again, at 100 for one, everybody would have said easy, very easy, Barbados is rolling home with it, or the team that is chasing is on its way home. Again, we had the third run up by Shamar Brooks in the tournament. And from henceforth, I don't know whether it is panic, because what I can say, the dressing room seemed calm from where I sat. But perhaps there were more nerves whilst the players went out into the middle than I anticipated, certainly. And we never got over the line. So we lost the last eight wickets. We lost the last eight wickets for some 50 odd runs. Again, Andrew, there's no one in the world that can defend that type of cricket. Mm-hmm. And it is not a lack of preparation. We have been preparing. Mm-hmm. All of our players have been preparing, with the exception of our international players who might have been out on international duty. Mm-hmm. But our players would have been preparing over the last 4 months with all of the coaches that we have at the Cricket Association, all eight of the coaches that are at our disposal. So people talk about the new change of coach and the lack of coaching and this. And again, on the day, during the tournament, for each game, we did not perform to the potential that we know is capable of the players that we have. And again, there is no excuse for that.
Wendell, just want to ask a question. What's the situation with Roston Chase? He didn't bowl. Is he injured? Roston Chase. He didn't bowl against Jamaica.
But because a person didn't bowl doesn't necessarily mean that there's an injury. The tactics that were used by the captain at the time, Roston Chase might not have bowled. Shamar Holder only bowled after the 35th over. Mm. So, as far as I know, that it hadn't been a report of an injury.
So you're telling us that Roston Chase was not. So you're saying that Roston Chase was not injured. Is that what you're saying?
No, Ross. Not that I know.
But Dave is talking about the whole question of Jason Holder. In my view, poor captaincy. Poor captaincy. You cannot have a Roston Chase in your side who is the West Indies off spinner and he's not injured and not bowling. How do you explain that? How would you explain it?
Well, again, Andrew.
It is foolishness. Stop defending foolishness.
Are you going to allow me to speak? Are you going to allow me?
Yes, I'm going to allow you to speak.
Because I never came to defend anything, and I said that from the outset.
I'm saying to you, if I may interrupt you, Wendell, just for a minute. Okay. Continue.
Are you sure you want me to continue?
Yes, of course. And I'm going to keep my mouth closed.
Okay. Now, the captain on the day made a decision based on gut feeling, based on the tactics that was being used, and he bowled the bowlers that he saw fit at on that day. I didn't come here to defend whether Shamar Holder should have bowled, Roston Chase should have bowled, whoever should have bowled. That is on the day, the captain at the time made a decision, and I was not in the position, and neither does my office hold the position where I should tell the captain who should or shouldn't bowl at a particular time. And I don't see how that is defending.
Well, it didn't make a lot of sense to me because, you know, people like Dave Cameron and Toby Radford defend Jason Holder as a captain. I think, and I've said it before, I stopped criticizing Holder. I think, and we've become...
No, Mr.
But
don't say we defend him. We're saying...
That what?
No, so he's been removed as the ODI, the limited overs captain. The
yes.
White ball captain.
Yes.
He's done very well in test match cricket.
Mm.
So you tell me, and as Toby has said at the start of the show,
yes.
if Jason was in Bangladesh, we probably would have had the same results.
Mm.
So again, just
are you sure about that though, Dave? Are you sure about that?
We need to look. No, hold on. We need to look at the Bangladesh series.
Yes.
And one wise man told me that is when you win that you need to analyze what you did in order to win.
Exactly.
Rather than when you lose.
Mm.
Because we won a test match where we had an unbelievable performance by Kyle Mayers and Bonner.
Right.
To win that match, scoring 395.
Mm.
On the back of Shakib Al-Hassan being injured.
Right.
Who was the man of the series for the ODIs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We batted with a couple of chances of Kyle and Bonner. And we go to the second match. And we scored 100 and something, 111 or whatever it is in the second innings.
Mm.
We won by 17. So it's not two test matches where we dominated the opposition. We were lucky, we were fortunate, but we did well. We capitalized on whatever the opportunities we got, so we came out of there. So, you know, we need to look at that and not just, you know, throw Jason under the bus. And again, I'm saying to you, if Cricket West Indies, if the public believe that there's a better captain than Jason, then so be it. But we don't need to belittle his performances and his contributions to West Indies. That's all I like.
Oh, fair enough. All right, let's come to Henderson Brooms. I know that Dr. Ford, who's a big defender of Jason Holder, I've said, I like Jason. I just have a problem. Not only Jason, but the captains in the region that make basic elementary mistakes in cricket. I have a problem, Dave Cameron, with this. We cannot have our captains, and we tend to underestimate the importance of things they feel place in. Let's look at the man who captained the Jamaica side. Barbados were 125 for two. They were coasting. McCarthy comes into bowl. Shea Hope was batting. Paul had the square leg. He had the mid wicket and the mid on, saving one. And the pressure started to build in the Barbados team. Tactics are important. We tend to underestimate them. And you can't... How do you explain at... How do you explain at 80, 87 for 8, right? That you're not aggressive. How do you explain that? How do you explain the long off and the long on? And nobody wrong the bat, Dave Cameron. Don't defend foolishness. You are. I've got.
Am I? Okay.
I think you are.
I apologize if I'm defending foolishness. I'm not even talking about the game. I'm not talking about the game, you know. I'm talking about. So I've moved on from the game on the weekend. I'm talking about this call to replace him as the captain of the test team.
Mm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Fair enough. Stay with us, Dave. We got one or two people. They want to talk to you. And Hendy Broom is going to come in, of course. We got our lawyer is still very much on the line. Let's take a call. Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome. Yes, let's get another call in there. Can we get the first call in? Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome. Oh, the call is gone. 4341790. Do we have a call? All right. Okay. All right. Hendy Brooms, the chairman of selectors. I'm sorry if I got a little bit upset there, but I just have a problem with poor tactics. I've had it for a long time. We one of the problems in our cricket, Dave, is that we've got captains that can't set a field. We can't set a field. And we can't continue to have that in cricket. We must have people that must not be making these basic elementary mistakes in field placing. Not only Holder, Craig Bassett does it too. We got poor captains tactically in the region. Let's take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
And so, Mr. Mason.
Yes.
As I said, we need to go back to the territorial board.
Right.
And from the grassroots level.
Right. Okay.
That's where it starts.
Okay. So stay with us, Dave. We got another 25 minutes left on the show. We got a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Yes. Good evening, Andrew.
Yes, Randolph.
And good evening to your panel, especially the former president of the West Indies.
Yes. A man that you supported a lot too as well.
Well, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Now, Andrew.
Yes.
Now, let's say as a Barbadian, I would say that I was a bit upset that we didn't go to the semifinals.
Yeah.
All right? But that is life. That's a part of cricket.
Mm.
Now, let me get on to my important thing here with the West Indies team. I like the West Indies. I'm a West Indies player.
Mm.
We are jumping up and down like sparrows over the win in Bangladesh. It is nine times, Jack.
Yes.
Nine playing ten. And we are jumping up. Now you can imagine
that
if we had beaten Australia or India,
right now
the West Indies team, we would be airborne. We would not be on the ground.
Right.
Because we'd be jumping. We have beaten a team that didn't play cricket waiting for the set for 17 months.
Right.
No fault of ours. All right? And I recognize that the former president alluded to some things that none of the sportscasters alluded to that transpired during the two test matches.
Mm-hmm.
But he alluded to it. I'm not going to say what he said because I think everybody should have heard who were listening of what he said that transpired in those two games.
Mm-hmm.
But even your program did not, at any point in time, highlighted any of those things.
Mm.
I am hoping, though, that similar occurrences that happened during that time, if they happen in the Sri Lanka match, I hope when the two goes on the other foot, that they don't hear you all complaining about the captaincy.
Yes.
Craig Bassett, I don't see why they should, because of that, they should replace Holder with the test team. To me, Craig Bassett skipped the Barbados team and was out to sea.
Mm.
And Craig Bassett cannot play the ball that is swinging.
Mm.
He cannot play. He's in serious trouble now because there was dead. So he was able to get runs.
Mm.
You're going to give him the captaincy,
you know,
to embarrass him?
All right, Randolph, you've made your point. We're going to try and stick a couple more calls in. Of course, the time always flies in this show. Hendy Brooms is with us, Chairman of Selectors. Hendy, I just got the news that Roston Chase was not injured. And